Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Keep this frequency clear.
Here we go!
Are you ready?
Coming at ya! Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets in Proteus. I need to start working this, but right now, the mean streets of San Mateo, California. We're still in our old Amp studios for another week, actually, even though technically we're at our new studios. In the mean streets of San Bruno, California, Proteus, where we have all the hipsters, skinny jeans, skateboards, Google glasses, and all things that are YouTube. And of course, the Gap being right down the street from us as well. But let's be honest, we are sans UFC today, Proteus. No UFC today, which is a little different from us, right? Let's meet our host, Pro, because we have Lerone's coming on later on. With me, as always, of course, the yin to my yang, which is Proteus. And we have, of course, Ryan Moody, a very popular YouTuber. Let's get into this, Pro. Let's meet our guy. Everyone's the East. You know that? Everyone's East. I'm the only Westerner. Let's go into it, guys. The man that watched every single Bellator fight that there was last night, our very own Ryan Moody.
The first time I've watched a full Bellator card, and I feel worse having said that I've seen it all.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, man. We're already starting. Good Lord. All right, Pro. And the man up north, the man who always has an Amp Radio t-shirt lying around somewhere, Prados.
Yes, indeed. Ryan setting the mood very early in this show, and I assume this is the way it's going to go. He's got his best Chael Sonnen voice on, though, right now. I can hear that.
Yeah, no
That's
pun
just
intended.
Great if you hear.
Hold on. We have to play this for Marco.
What's that?
Wow. All right, guys, let's get into it, guys. Exciting times for some of us, and for others, maybe not so much. I, of course, being a huge Bellator fanatic, huge Strikeforce, Bellaforce guy, I was excited about last night, and to me, it lived up to what I thought it would be. But and let's be honest, guys, I actually... When I watch Bellator, I know what I'm watching. I'm not trying to pretend it's a UFC, so I don't compare it as much. But let's get into it, guys. Bellator 170, Ortiz versus Sonnen, took place, of course, last night, January 21st, 2017, at the Inglewood, at the Forum, of course, in Inglewood, always up to no good, California. It did air on primetime, guys, if you can get past Cops and some of the other crappy shows, but it did air. Let's get into it. Proteus, your take on Bellator 170.
Yeah, as Ryan had mentioned, I usually don't watch Bellator, but I knew that perhaps we were going to be very Bellator heavy this week. It was okay. I mean, there was a couple of really nice knockouts that we can probably talk about later that I thought were intriguing. There was one really, really terrible fight at the beginning of the main event, the second fight in, and there was a whole bunch of maybe we should take a foul, maybe we shouldn't take a foul, and I'm sure we'll talk about that as well in the future. So overall, Tony, if you're asking me to rate it and a grade, probably B minus.
Wow, all right, that's higher than I thought you would give it. Okay, let's get into it. I'm in the mood with Ryan Moody. Brian, what say you? Bellator 170 overall grade and what your initial thoughts were on it?
Well, if you had a B, I wish you would have been any one of my teachers in high school, because I would give that card, I would say probably a C. being forgiving, a forgiving C, a sympathy C, if you will.
So let's get into that a little bit before we get into the card itself. Why a C? Because are we grading it in terms of their production? It's kind of hard to beat their production. So the C is going off of what, Ryan? The fights themselves, the talent, or the buildup to the fight?
Generally, the concept of Bellator. You're right. The UFC, they're not going to be touched by the screens and that beautiful digital walkway that Bellator had going last night. It's great that they do that. They try to really make a show and a production out of it, but they focus a lot on the entertainment. And let's think about this main event that's had so much buildup, probably the biggest main event they've had ever, you may say. This is a fight that really had one significant strike I saw landed, one submission attempt, kind of one counter, and then a tap. So if I was just describing this fight to you and you didn't know who was involved, that's not going to be a very good fight.
Yeah. To back you up there, Ryan, I said exactly the same thing to Tony when he asked me about this card. He said, what do you think about this card? Are you excited as me? I said, not really. I mean, the main event is a joke, right? Really, the main event is a joke. So everything else I was being open-minded to, but at the top of the card, I was like, oh, man, really going to be a disappointing fight. And you know what? To be fair, Tony, I did find myself, when I was watching it, to be for the what? Maybe 45, 50 seconds that it lasted. Well, did it last longer than that? Maybe it lasted a minute. I'm not sure. I felt myself, you know, kind of intrigued. And then Tito started talking at the press conference, and that was enough again to just let everything go. And it was not a very good main event, in my opinion. But the co-main event was pretty good.
All right, let's do this, guys, because we're having issues with volumes, and that was my problem. If we can call you, have you call right back with the number that I gave you, that'd be great, because we're having issues with, and as of course I storm away from the microphone here, we're having problems with the volume. So, Ryan, can you give us a call right back?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sweet. Thanks.
Team player. Hey, real quickly though, Tony, I wanted to say when we were speaking back and forth on Twitter, as I said to you, one of my favorite things is when you go into a main event and you see that much blood on the canvas, it must have been a good night in the prelims.
That's true. But then for anyone that's coming in, keep in mind, only the hardcores of the hardcores are going to, you know what? I gave them the wrong number like a dummy. That was my fault.
All right. Take your time.
Only the hardcores of the hardcores are going to actually watch Bellator on spikes, the prelims. The prelims.
Okay, yeah, the prelims. Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, I like what they do with the prelims because they put it online. It's very easy to stream. The only complaint I had about how the prelims were running is every time I stopped to talk to you on the text message, I had to see another MTV commercial. And these MTV commercials are terrible, Tony. They're the worst.
See, you were getting MTV commercials. I'm getting Geico commercials. So it's like, good Lord, talk about, you know, we were just joking around as we're waiting for Ryan to call in. We're just joking around. By the way, do you like the presser music that I have running in the background?
I did notice. Yes. You're always on point, Tony.
How about that? Huh? What I did notice is the fact that we have different commercials. So you and I were talking and I was working on drops. And what's funny is I work on drops all week long and I forget to upload them. But the main two drops that I've been working on is that NBA, the Andersons got tickets, how they get tickets. As we have the great, of course, Ryan Moody back. That and, of course, the Geico drop with lemonade, you know, with iced tea. So those were the two. I probably just gave those up too early. All right, Ryan, let's get into it. So where were we before we lost our train of thought here?
Well, I think we had just discussed what happened. Taking the fighters out of it, and I think we all agree, on paper, it doesn't look like a good fight. But I want to talk a little bit about how Bellator does this, because to me, Bellator puts entertainment over competition. And I think last night is a prime example of this. You bring in a big-ticket name, okay? we know Chael Sonnen is a huge name. They create this massive buildup. And, you know, to be honest with you, as ingrained as an MMA fan as I was, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong with this, I did not know about Chael's deathbed promise to his father to beat Tito and to be a world champion. I just did not know that until this fight. It makes for a great story, but I think if you look at Tito's retirement, whoever he fought, someone was going to care. But when you bring in Chael this way, you kind of do the same thing they did with Benson Henderson. You damage the value of this free agent because now he's been beaten. Or you can also risk degrading your own product because he beats your guy coming in from the UFC after multiple years, and that's where they want to be. I know we can joke around about it, but they want to be competing with UFC. And when you do things like this, you're not. You're simply just taking UFC retreads and running them through your process, and that's not going to build a product for you going forward. You need to use these fights the same way we saw the UFC do with BJ Penn. Bring someone in if you want and either have the rebirth of his career or pass a torch on to a younger fighter that can lead your organization. When you don't do that, you've got these 30, 35, 40-year-old fighters that head your division, and it just doesn't look good.
Yeah. I think though, Ryan, is what we need to mention here is that that's what they have. You know, that's right now, that's what they have available for them. I mean, the old guys league is going to sell to people, right? I mean, it definitely is. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't be mad at BJ Penn if he came over to Bellator and made a whole shitload of money at the end of his career and fought some older guys like this. Again, like you were saying, yes, they do put a lot more emphasis into the entertainment value. And Tony, like you said, it looked fantastic. You know, the lights on the top of the forum running back and forth, I thought was really stunning. The big video screen that they had, I thought was great. And the ramp, I've never been a fan of the ramp, but I know people are. And that graphic that they had on it, like you said, Ryan, was stellar. That part was great. And yes, at the top of the card, we probably could have had something a little bit better. Maybe if it went a little bit longer and was a little bit more competitive, we may have had different thoughts about it. But I think both guys really came in angry. They came in not really looking to have a fight. They were both mad at each other, and we saw what happened. And at the end of the fight, guys, let's be honest, Tito should get fined for his behavior at the end of that fight. Yep. Absolutely.
Well, I thought part of the reason that happened was he knew that he's done. Well, they're going to fine him, but there's no other sanction they could provide. Now, if you watch the post-fight, and to me that was the most disrespectful thing as well. A referee should never have to break a hold. He said that he didn't know Chael was tapping because he felt it was like a dream to him.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding?
Him and George St. Pierre.
Okay, Biggie Smalls.
Him and George St. Pierre probably seeing aliens. Sorry, Tony.
Yeah, okay, Biggie Smalls, right? It was just a dream?
Yeah.
Or was that Tupac? I can't recall. All right, no, it was Biggie. Here's a problem that I have, you guys. I think oftentimes we try, and this is, by the way, going to really – hold on, where's a record scratch on this one? Because this is really going to – because you know me, I'm definitely not a pro wrestling fan at all, unless, of course, I'm 12. But this reminds me of the whole WCW / WWF. That's right, I said WWF days. If you guys remember the whole Attitude Era when there were, I think it was even before that. Who the hell knows?
Of course, I
don't know too much about that, and I'm not going to lie. But how they would actually have you guys the, talent wars, etc. And let's be frank. I mean, there is a difference. One's 1A and one's maybe not even 1B. Maybe one's 2A, right? But there is a difference between the talent that the UFC has and the talent that anyone else has. But let's not lose sight of the fact that Bellator is the second largest organization, and they do have talent. And before we start bashing Bellator on, because don't forget, we just had a great Bellator event not too long ago that I was in San Jose. And believe me, stars show up for those guys. You guys say whatever you want to say. Stars show up for those. The Diaz brothers are there, and they have no ties. Well, they did last time, but they usually don't have any ties with some of the fighters. And keep in mind, guys, when you have unless you guys have been to a Bellator event, the way Bellator does their events is completely different from the way UFC does their events. And I'll throw this at you guys. anyone that sits in the lower part of the floor, anyone that sits on the floor with at a Bellator event, they get the opportunity to walk around. So you get to meet all these fighters. You get to meet the Nate Diaz's. In my case, you get to pee next to Nate Diaz, right? But you get to walk around and meet these people. They're not locked in like the UFC, where your seat is your seat and you can't walk around and there are rails everywhere. That's not the case with Bellator. Moreover, they even have lounge places where they have, like, you know, couches, seats, etc. So Bellator is trying to do a different thing, guys. And to be honest with you, Ryan, I don't think that's a bad thing.
I would agree, but I mean, that doesn't do anything for what I'm watching, though. It may be great for someone there, but as a fan, it's not making it any better for me.
Right. I see where you're coming from, Ryan, and I do hold the same kind of opinion. I do, to be honest with you. And Tony, like you said, I don't have any disillusions of what I'm watching. I'm definitely watching a product that is not as good as the UFC. You know, like I said that at the beginning of the show, or maybe it was off air when we were talking, that this definitely is not the UFC. It's not the high quality. I mean, at the top of the UFC. I mean, at the bottom of the UFC, we have a lot of the same kind of talent. And let's be honest, a lot of the UFC programming has been a lot of this recently, Ryan. Correct? You can agree with me. It has been, you know, lower end fighters, and we don't have a lot of stars to push. And, you know, maybe we're doing too many shows. And maybe Bellator's got the same problem. They're doing too many shows. Again, Tony, I thought there were some all right fights on here that were entertaining, some really, really good knockouts, like I said, at the top. So I'm not going to trash and bag on it on the whole time, but I know where Ryan's coming from, you know, and maybe it's not for everybody, right? Ryan, you can agree that, you know, you don't necessarily have to watch Bellator if it's not for you.
I would agree, but like you had talked about, and it's a very good point if you go back and you compare it to what so many people remember with, you know, the TV wars of Monday Night Raw and Monday Night Nitro. It's interesting you bring that up, because if you can recall, at least from my perspective, a lot of Ted Turner money brought in a lot of big WWF ready-made stars. Bret Hart is a great example. And when they got to there, they really didn't know how to handle it, and they diminished a lot of people's careers. And it's interesting that you make that point, because to me, that's what I see Bellator doing with a lot of these big names. They try to make them into something they weren't. They try to make them into really company leaders well after their prime. And you end up, again, you know, with a fight like last night. And to your point, yes, there were a lot of knockouts. There were some entertaining fights. But if we're talking about just the actual Spike TV card, which is what I think a majority of people watched, I doubt a lot of people streamed it on Spike Up. You know, if I'm wrong with that, feel free to correct me. But with the actual Spike TV card, there was three decisions, one knockout, and a submission.
True. I hear you.
Here's the thing on that point, Ryan, and you're absolutely right. I mean, it's, and we're not talking about fake fighting versus real fighting, right? Because there's a big difference, and storylines and all this other mumbo jumbo, and, you know, we're not going to get into the professional wrestling side of it. But here's the thing. Is Scott Coker handling his fighters correctly, at least the ones that he's bringing over? Who knows? I think they are. And if you look at, in my opinion, if you look at the top tier, and mind you, we're talking about, because UFC can go, and correct me if I'm wrong, Pro, probably 15, 20 fighters deep of really, really good talent, where Bellator maybe goes four or five fighters deep in each division in terms of really good talent. Because if you look at some of the people that they have, and I'm just going to name you people that I think are talented, right? Rory McDonald. Yeah, I said it. Rory McDonald, right? The Phil Davises. And I think Phil Davis is talented, right? I think Liam McGeary is talented. I have to go deep, right, into this in terms of thinking of who's talented. But Brendan Ward, Douglas Lima. How about that? Andre Koroshkov, Michael Venom Page. Those are talented fighters, guys. Michael Chandler, the Patricky Pitbulls, right? Whether or not they stay in Bellator will be a different thing. Adam Piccolotti, who's up and coming. Whether or not they'll stay, we don't know. But those are damn good fighters, guys, right now.
I would agree with all those names, but I think a lot of those names you mentioned have connections to the UFC or have been in the UFC and have been exited.
Yeah, oh, true. Agreed. But this is the thing with what we're talking about, the UFC being at the top of the food chain and everybody else having to do what they're, you know, what they need to do to try and make money. And I don't know what the numbers are. Scott didn't give us any idea of what the numbers were at the post-fight press conference about attendance, and of course, I'm sure no TV numbers. So we'll have to wait, I guess, until maybe tomorrow to see how this does. I mean, again, guys, like you said, Ryan, yes, probably a bit of a slow start, but if you did watch some of the, as I know that you did, but if a casual fan did watch some of the fights leading up, it, you know, there were some good fights on that prelim card. And like I said to Tony, always a good day when you know when the main event starts and the canvas is full of blood. So you know you got to go back and watch those prelim fights.
Speaking of course of, yeah, I wonder how many people, by the way, were late and didn't get to see the main events. Hold on, someone's knocking on our door, guys.
Sorry I'm late, I just don't give a fuck.
I wonder who that is. Good Lord, let's see. We have someone. Hold on, I ruined his intro. The man who found the M in Moody, LaRone.
Yo, what's going on? Ryan, Tony, DJ Tony, what's going on, fellas? What's going on, everybody? What's up, world?
It's about time. The one and only LaRone. No, I miss that. I miss his voice. Man, I think he has such a great voice.
Miss
I say
you
that
guys
to
too, man. Happy New Year, everybody. Miss you guys too, man.
Happy New Year. All right, guys, let's get into the fights. And we have the whole show is going to be filled with Bellator discussion, but we're half an hour in, haven't spoken about the fights at all. Let's get into this, guys. And I know that LaRone was unfortunately didn't have access to all the fights last night, but we'll definitely tie him into the main because that's what he got to see. But let's get into this, guys. Let's talk about spotlight fights that were not on the main card. I'm going to go into a fight that Proteus and I were chatting about, the featherweight, the Chinzo Machida versus Jamaro Campo. Man, I'll tell you, anything that's Machida, I'm probably into. I'm not going to lie, because Proteus will tell you that I love all the karate style type fighters, all the kickboxing style fighters. But man, I definitely miss Lyoto, even though Lyoto hasn't been the Lyoto of old, but watching Lyoto's brother, Chinzo, who, by the way, looks younger, dismantle Ocampo. Ryan, what say you?
That was actually a very entertaining and good, evenly matched fight, I thought. A little bit one-sided for Machida, as you said, but a fight that looked like it was going to go the distance, and then ultimately, you know, Machida just kind of poured it on in the final round. And I honestly had almost, you know, relegated it to a decision till there, I think, just about a minute left to go. Was it a leg kick that he got? I'm pretty sure it was a leg kick that he got to end it. But the funny thing about that fight is that is the one I was hoping when we started to see some ends on the main card that they actually brought on and showed the highlights of. They went with Soto versus Brown. But that's the fight that I actually thought they were going to spotlight in the main card.
Yeah, my spotlight fight of the night has definitely got to be the Bamba fight. I agree with what you guys were saying with this Machida fight. It was excellent to see him. I think in the first round he had really gotten – I missed the first round. Sorry, guys. I think he had been getting you know, his ass handed to him a bit, and then he came back in the second and the third and came out with that win. Great win. I enjoyed it. But I thought the Bamba fight – Tony, if you could correct me about who he was fighting, I can't pull it up on the Bellator site.
John Mercurio.
I wrote this down last. There you go. I wrote it down last night. The combination that ended that fight was absolutely beautiful. From the overhand right, and then as he was falling, the uppercut comes right underneath his arms, and boom! Out. The lights are out, man. That was such a beautiful 1-2 kind of, you know, boom, boom. And the foresight of thinking about that before and seeing what's happening and reacting right away, beautiful, beautiful knockout. That's my spotlight fight of the night.
By the way, guys, do you guys think that Luke Rockhold was watching this card? No?
No.
Nothing? No, right. Demi Lovato? Okay. Oh, man, that didn't go well, right? Oh, good Lord. By the way, how is an owner a partial owner of the UFC in the Bellator crowd and prominent.
Hey,
I think they
want to
show that. I think they want to show he's there. I was actually surprised that they didn't show Frank Trigg was the referee of the May Cryer fight.
You're right. I thought that guy looked
blown
familiar.
Away by that. Yeah, he'd actually been a referee before, but this is the first time he'd done really anything televised. But this was his Bellator debut. And in a night where, you know, we probably, as we've mentioned before, should have had some UFC competition on the airwaves over the course of the weekend, they didn't. It's interesting that the former UFC fighter only got one call on the ref.
Damn.
Did an admirable job.
I think so, too. By the way, I was impressed by the Soto-Brown fight, even though it's we're going to talk into the new rules. Lerone, you're going to love this,
right?
Because
good.
Start getting ready for draws. And I don't mean the good kind, but let's talk one last fight on the prelims, guys, that I know that I'm in the mood with. Moody has something to say about, and that's Kevin Casey, guys. He's definitely no Cassius Clay versus Keith Barry. A majority drawing. Like I said, Lerone, we better start getting used to these, but let's get into this. Pro, what say you? Kevin Casey versus Keith Barry.
Yeah, we had this conversation last night while we were watching the fights, and it's one of those things that I don't think either guy really went out and tried to get it. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I said to you after watching it. I was just like, well, I mean, you know that the rules are changing. You know what was crazy was Big John McCarthy did an interview with, I believe it was Fighting. Yeah, it was Fighting. And saying that the fighters aren't even aware. They're very confused about how the rules have changed. And this is the kind of thing, this education process should have happened previous to the first event, which of course is in LA. And I think the California Commission is a great commission, and their refs did a great job, except for a couple of standouts that I would like to talk about these rules as well. But talking about this fight, that's just going to happen if nobody wants to go and get it, guys. And that we're going to have to see these guys either go out there on their shield or get these decisions, man. And I don't want to see them, just like you don't want to see them. We all want a winner, but this is going to keep happening unless we can see a little bit more action pressed look at what happened in the second fight on the main card. Those guys didn't engage at all. I mean, the ref had to come up to them and say, hey, engage, guys. Let's get some engagement going on here. So anyways, who's next?
It's Ryan.
To me, with Kevin Casey, when we talk about the fighter he is, this is someone that had been touted coming in from the UFC, one of their kind of original signings earlier from the UFC. I was surprised he was on the undercard, number one. But he also has to come in and make a statement. In this fight, I thought he came in, he had a very good first round. Looked like he was going to get out of it with a win. Then he really kind of tapered off in the second round. And then the third round was non-existent. Now, if you want to call that a draw, that's okay to me. I thought he lost. But, you know, this is a guy that's also had draws in his past before. But when you talk about the rules, and here's an interesting one, if anyone goes back and watches this, it was made very clear all week that open hands are now
in foul. Yes, thank you.
And I've continued to see fighters spar. I've continued to see fighters defend. And I've continued to see fighters protect themselves with open hands. So I fear that at some point there is going to be a fight where that is going to be called an impact, a meaningful fight, when it really is kind of one of those ticky-tack things. And it shocks me all week to see fighters sparring with their hands open when that's now a blatant rule violation.
May I real quick, or is it Lerone?
No, go.
Okay, I saw this not only in the Campos-Anderson fight, but in the Machida fight as well. And if you go back and you listen to that, or you watch that interview with Big John on MMA Fighting with the really small guy, I can't remember his name, the short dude. Big John goes over this. If you're extending your hand at all towards the face, whether you're retreating or you're going forward, that's a foul. And I saw not only in the, like I said, in the Campos-Anderson fight, but in that Machida fight, Machida was doing that as well. The ref was yelling and screaming at him, watch your fingers. No foul. If we're going to do this, guys, we got to take fouls for these things. And like Ryan, you just said, we don't want to see it. We don't want to see it, but the fighters need to be more educated that this is going to be a foul and that you're going to lose a point for doing stuff like this, which will affect the fight 100%. I mean, the refs don't want to have to do it, so the fighters are going to have to stop doing that. And I'm done. Go ahead, Lerone.
Lerone, let's get into this, because what we're going to start seeing, Lerone, a lot is the fact that we're probably going to see a lot of draws going forward, especially with fighters that don't want to engage. Like Proteus was saying, and I think Ryan even brought this up, going into fights, guys, you're going to have to try to win it. And how many times do we see people that are just kind of like going for, I don't know if it's fair to say going for points or just going for, right. But well, yeah, we're going to see a lot more draws. Yeah. So question to you, Lerone, is what do you think about the new scoring?
I've heard briefly about that, and also it was two other rules that were set in place. What's the actual difference with the scoring now? Can you run it by me again?
Guys, who wants to go over this with Lerone in terms of the new scoring changes? Basically, we're going, of course, into what truly is a down fighter, and most importantly, what we've been chatting about is the open fingers, Lerone, which I don't get that either, guys. How people are always having the fingers.
Pray for John Jones.
Yeah.
Pray for John Jones.
Well, again, another one of the rule changes is going to be less about, I believe it's less about octagon control and more about, you know, the strikes that were landed, the effectiveness of the strikes, and then it'll be more of octagon control. So this is kind of where we're seeing these changes happening. We saw the draw come up last night. Was there more than one draw, Tony? I think there was more than one draw on the prelims. Anyways, maybe I'm getting confused.
But no, there was only one draw. There was only one draw, but there were points taken away in the Campos, Mr. Anderson. The Andersons got tickets. How they get tickets in the Anderson Campos fight. But I mean, that's one thing we're going to start seeing, Lerone, is the fact that, you know, what's a down fighter, right? That's what we saw last night. And of course, like you said, right, the open fingers, right?
Yeah,
can we talk
about
that?
The thing is, people got a point.
Sorry, Lerone. I want to talk about the knees to the head at some point as well.
People got to push. People will have to push the action. I mean, you know, think about when we complained or people said, you know, they need to up the bonuses and stuff like that. Maybe that would, you know, have these guys, you know, intriguing to engage in the action a little bit more. Now you have these rules set in place, and it's like, yeah, you don't want to have drugs. I mean, look at Woodley and Wonderboy. They're running it back so soon, and I get it. You know, but like you said, man, you're going to have a lot more draws unless, you know, these guys push the action a little bit more in their fights and, you know, not looking at the clock or not listening to the corner when the corner's saying, oh, you got that round, you're doing good, just keep it going. Don't, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, some guys, they play it safe, you know, they listen to their corner. Sometimes the corner gives them good advice. Sometimes it's the total opposite, you know. I think a corner should always tell their guy, you know, you need to – go out there as if, you know, you didn't win that one and really push. Sometimes, you know, the guys, they scale it back a little bit, you know. So with that being in place, man, these guys are going to really push the action a little bit. I mean, even on the ground, you're going to, you know, be a little bit more aggressive on the ground and stuff like that also. If, you know, your bread and butter is more of, you know, being a ground fighter.
Well, if you're
wrong. Since it was brought up, I did just want to mention, in the Gracie Cotto fight, when they stopped them, and essentially, if anyone goes back and watches that fight, one of the worst fights I've ever seen, the crowd was chanting, fight, 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 during the event. Jimmy Smith said some very derogatory things about Gracie during the commentary, which really kind of shocked me. We're rather unprofessional.
What did he say?
I believe at one point he was referencing what had happened in the first round and said, you know, for what it's worth, with isn't a lot for Gracie at this point.
Ooh.
There's just some colored things that were said there that didn't have to go. I mean, listen, you brought this guy in because he's a Gracie. He hasn't fought in however many years. He was misled whether he wanted to be a fighter to begin with. What did you really expect? But when they stopped them and they told them to start fighting, at least Cotto immediately got unbelievably aggressive.
That's right.
and push toward the finish. That to me, that fight there, though, has nothing to do with these new rule changes. There's nothing in there where I'm saying, okay, the knees, the open fingers, nothing that made that fight bad would be changed by these new rules. And most importantly, in my opinion, all these rules were designed, developed, and thought of with one thing in mind, and that's the safety of the fighter.
I agree 100% with what you've just said. The thing that stopped that Gracie cattle fight from being any good is Gracie didn't want to fight, right? He's not a striker. He was just trying to kick. He was just trying to kick the legs, kick the body, keep him at distance. I didn't think he even was trying to get the fight to the ground at most points, you know. Cattle is a defensive striker. You know, he likes to have you come in and he reacts to what you're doing. A counter striker. Thank you, Tony, for the correct word. And that's what made that fight stink. It was terrible. I mean, you can't expect – there's two guys in there. I mean, like you said, Cato did – he started to go at him. As soon as the ref said fight, I mean, he started to turn it up a bit. But, again, he was having success, and I don't know why he didn't just keep striking because he was clearly the better striker. But, yeah, I mean, that's what I had to say about that. There were many things about the new rules or new violations that I want to talk about on this card. The Georgia Karakanyan fight, can I go into that real quick, Tony?
Yeah,
I mean,
let's
I know
go.
We're jumping
let's
around
go into
here.
It. No. We need to jump around.
So
jump around. Jumping it down. Sorry, go ahead.
Not only one, but two illegal knees. And we just saw this same kind of situation happen in the UFC on their last card. So we should all have been familiar with that kind of positioning of a fighter. Now, in the post-fight press conference, Ryan, I know that you referenced it earlier, so I know that you watched this as well. Sanchez goes in saying, well, I don't even think I hit him with the knees. You know, maybe he was just acting. First of all, it doesn't matter if they land. You had intent to land them to the head. I believe they landed because of Karakanyan's reaction. Also, I said this before when we saw the illegal knees to the Brazilian cowboy. I don't believe anybody should have to continue to fight. You know what I mean? I don't believe if you take an illegal strike, maybe one or two illegal strikes to the head, that you need to feel bad about continuing with that fight, regardless. I don't know how Sanchez won the fight after getting the point taken away. I didn't see that he was all that dominant in the fight. And Ryan, correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I don't know if we can see these things moving forward. And maybe Karakanyan can go to the commission and maybe get this overturned. I had a real problem with that fight being continued. Sorry.
I completely agree. There's two things in that fight that I think need to be looked at and really significantly need to be thought about change being made. Number one, when you foul someone, if you immediately begin to argue your point, which he did, he immediately said, I didn't hit him and I didn't hit him in the head. It was clear as day that he did. And even if he didn't, it's not his place to argue in the cage against the referee. Number two, once you have, as you said, someone clearly take a strike that's illegal, I don't believe the doctor was brought in on that, but he was asked twice before it was actually done. He asked him, do you want a doctor to come in? And Karahanya said, no. And then they said, I'm going to bring a doctor in. It was immediately evident to anyone watching that there was a welt that was forming above his eye immediately after that knee took place. A fighter is going to want to fight. It's the definition of what they're doing. At some point, you have to make the decision for them. This is going to stop. If we're worried about concussions, if we're worried about the long-term health ramifications, if someone takes a direct shot to the head and isn't knocked unconscious, but the fight has to be stopped because of it, that is something where we need to say, okay, whether we score it to this point, or whether we call this, you know, just a technical and end the match, to me, that's what needs to happen. Because we go back to the point we talked about before. We're going to have a fight, and unfortunately, I feel like it may be a marquee fight, that's ended because of one of these finger fouls or because of one of these knees where we all look back and say, oh, geez, if only this had happened sooner. You'd have the president said of, okay, this is going to get you a point for these open fingers and open hands. Then I think everyone will take notice and say, okay, this fighter lost because of that. I'm not going to let that happen to me. Or I'm not going to argue with a referee when I think I might be right, but he thinks that I'm wrong. We really can't have that. In my opinion, any other sport, if you argue, if you touch a referee, we see ejections. We see penalties. We see fines. Yet in fighting, it seems like you're always willing to try to have somebody plead their case about how they're right.
I totally agree. I think the thing that we have to realize is, and mind you, none of us are fighters. Let's be frank, right? In the case of course, now we're jumping around a bit, but in the case of the fight between Cotto and Halleck, or as they call him in Middle America, Raelic. Bombed on that one. All right. In the case of there, I think what we're fighting is what we're seeing there, guys, is a grappler that's not a striker, that hasn't fought in 7 years, trying to fight a striker that is really more of a karate style fighter that doesn't want to have anything to do with Gracie on the ground. So I think what we were seeing there. In terms of the Sanchez Caracanian fight, I think what we're seeing is there's a, and correct me if I'm wrong, you guys, and Lerone, I'm going to you first on this. When the crowd starts booing you guys, that really gets on my nerves, because most of these people that are in there, and listen, I'm one of those two, right? Cheeto fingers, right? But most of those people that are in the crowd that are saying kick his ass or, you know, get in there and fight are the same people that wouldn't get in that cage to fight. I mean, am I wrong, Lerone?
I have to totally agree with that. I hate that too, man. I'll be honest with you. I have never sat here and booed and come on and you got to get up. And I've never done that, man. And I've been to about 6-7 live events, man. And sometimes in the action, I see people do that. I really, truly hate that, man, because like you said, let's be honest with all, it's four of us on the phone at the moment. How long have you actually been into an actual fist fight? It might feel like forever, but, you know, maybe a good 2-3 minutes. These fucking guys are fighting 15 minutes, 25, you know. It's like, and I mean, they're fucking swinging for the fences, and these guys are, you know, trained to go. It's like, you know, you have to have some kind of compassion a little bit, man, especially when, you know, you won't go in there, and you know, as soon as you walk in there for a fucking minute, it'll feel like 10 minutes, you know. I hate that, man. And I remember I was talking to Pat Barry a while ago. He was in the crowd, and he was sitting behind somebody, and this guy was, oh, you fucking piece of shit, you pussy, get up. And Pat Barry's sitting behind the guy. I'm not making this story up. And he was sitting behind him, and he said, hey, dude, shut the fuck up before I kick your fucking ass and this and that. You don't know what it's like to be out there. You're not a fucking fighter. This guy's face turned. So this is him.
There goes the ratings. There goes the rating for everyone. We lost that one, but yeah, what the heck? Let's keep going.
His face turned so fucking white, and dude turned around and was just quiet the rest of the fucking duration of the card. You know, it's one thing like, oh, come on, oh, this and that, that's bullshit. You know, this and that, yeah, he's back up, oh, fuck, he's back there. You know, but just sitting here, and oh, you piece of shit, get up, you pussy, and this and that. I hate it too, man. I really fucking hate that, man. You know, and there's always some, you know, out of shape, you know, one cheeseburger away from a fucking stroke, you know, type of person too. You know, it's I don't know, it's real hardcore don't do that, you know.
I don't disagree with it. I personally don't do it, but to me, if you're going to an event, I don't care what it is. It can be your daughter's school play. You have the ability to bring in whatever type of energy you want. So if we're going to sit here and say it's okay for fans to cheer and be ecstatic and jump up and down and hug each other, all that good stuff that comes with a great fight and a great finish, then to me it's very one-sided to say it's not okay for fans to voice displeasure when they're not happy with what's going on. So like I said, I mean, respectfully, I don't do it, but I don't have a real problem with someone that does it until it crosses a certain line. But with them last night, you know, just wanting some type of action in the fight, you can't tell me, maybe you wouldn't be standing there shouting it, but you can't tell me you weren't watching it and saying to yourself, okay, something has to happen here.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Agreed. I mean, agreed. And here's the thing with booing, okay? The boo hawks are always going to be at any sporting event. Like you said, Ryan, and I agree with you, they have the right to boo. However, you need to boo in the right places. If a guy's down because he just got illegally kneed to the head, you don't start booing that. You don't start calling him a pussy like Lerone was saying this guy was doing. You don't do that, okay? If you're unhappy with what you're seeing, clearly you need to go to the bar and get another beer because you're clearly intoxicated and you might as well have more.
Yeah, now, most of the guys are probably fucking drunk, yeah.
Yeah, as you had said, Ryan, the Gracie fight, that's exactly what I was thinking when I saw it happening in my head. I'm like, oh, and I don't listen to fights with the sound on because I find it distracting. But I was saying to myself, they're definitely getting booed right now, you know, especially since the ref had to come in. And that kind of booing, I think, is okay. Again, like you said, Ryan, I wouldn't do it. I would probably just get up and get myself another beer, to be honest with you. And because you know that's how that fight's going to go. I mean, you could tell that that's how that fight was going to go down unless Cato could do something and get a shot in there and knock him out or something. So as opposed for the booing, I don't like it. I don't do it. But there are places where I find that it's okay to boo. Tony.
Hey, to piggyback off what Ron was saying, I agree with you somewhat as far as you paid your money. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, you know, these guys are professional fighters, so no one's necessarily not running from somebody or not necessarily not wanting to fight. And you don't necessarily know if a fighter's in there injured, you know what I mean, where he can't really, you know, push the action. Now, you get somebody like a Rochelle, you know, he's a fighter. I respect anybody, first and foremost, that goes in the cage. But he's just fucking boring to me, that fucking guy. And I was just sad when he left the UFC, just to be honest. You know, I'm not saying I wanted to see the guy leave, but he's somebody where, like, if I'm watching a fight, I'm like, oh, come on, man, what the fuck? You know, stuff like that. But even still, I still think it's distasteful, man, when you're just, oh, you pussy, get the fuck up. You know, you do have to, you're right, you have to write the chair. There's no complaints when you chair, and you do have to write the boo. But I think there's a certain levels of it where you take it to and then you don't take it, you know? You don't just, you know, go with the tough talk, you know, and these are professional fighters and you're not a professional fighter. You know what I mean?
Well, to that point, I don't think there was one person that didn't cheer when Ward got pulled out of the ring, and that was a horrible situation with that knee. But I think most people respected him when he was taken out, and I heard a large ovation for that. So it wasn't all negative, but that one fight did deserve some encouragement from the crowd, if you will.
Oh, that's good.
All right, guys, let's do this because we're already almost an hour into it, guys, and we haven't gone over the card. But let's go into this real quick, guys. Obviously, Machida with a TKO stoppage in a third over Campo. Soto, of course, and Brown, that's a unanimous decision. We go Casey versus Barry. That was a draw. And, of course, Demi Lovato's boyfriend completely annihilated John Mercurio. That was, good Lord, that I didn't know he was that good of a fighter, to be honest with you. Derek Campos, of course, defeating Anderson in what we're calling controversial. Not really. Emmanuel Sanchez versus Carl Canyon, for sure controversial, right? That's knees to the down opponent. Hisako Kato over Halleck Gracie in the fight that no one wanted to fight, so that was a little strange. Paul Daly, of course, defeated Brendan Ward. Let's go into that, guys.
Yes,
Paul Daly versus Brendan Ward. Honestly, guys, I'm going to be honest with you right now, Ryan. That was the fight that I wanted to see most on this card, and I was really excited to see that fight, and it turned out to be exactly what I thought it would be. So let's get into it. Paul Daly versus Brendan Ward. Ryan Moody.
Yeah, to me, that was probably, would have been, when I looked at this card and I said, you know, would I pay for this if I had to? That fight would have been one of the ones I would pay for, because you know what you're going to get. These two guys don't have a whole lot of animosity. They don't hate each other. Prior Bellators, you see them sitting side by side, but you also know what you're going to get from them in the cage. They go out, they strive to put on a show, and I was actually surprised this fight did have a few takedowns in it. But ultimately, it's just a flying knee. And flying knees really only seem to work in Bellator for some reason. But Paul Daly is explosive. He is a very stout fighter. I feel like if he had not had his transgressions to get removed from the UFC, he would still be there and be doing very well. He's a top-tier fighter. He's made his home in Bellator. He should be one of Bellator's marquee names. As far as Brendan Ward, listen, he just got caught. You know, that knee reminded me a lot of what Chris Weidman got caught with. And I think if you watch it slowly, he did start to bleed a lot. It wasn't immediately noticeable, but there was a lot of blood coming out of his head. And I really do think Bellator did the right thing by stopping everything in that ring, getting the medics in there, attending to Brennan, even though he appeared to be okay, he was taking his gloves off as they carried him out. I've always been really shocked that when you have fighters take a knee like that, they aren't more precautious. I was shocked that Weidman got up from that. But those knees to the head are just brutal. It's instant out. And that to me, that fight lived up to the billing. Of all the card, that's one of those rare fights where they both didn't talk a whole lot. They told you what they were going to do. They went in, they traded, and one of them got knocked out. And it just happened to be Brennan. Anybody lands that knee and you're out. It doesn't matter who you are.
I agree. One thing I have to say, Tony, since we've been talking about rule changes, if you don't want the rule changes to affect you, you do what Paul Daly did, okay? Like Ryan said, he got taken down, and he got back up. And while he was in close proximity, threw that wonderful spinning elbow. And if you watch the tape back on that elbow, the way he follows through, like not only did he connect, but he followed right through. Beautiful technique. And then, of course, Brennan was very, very much in trouble. And here comes that lovely flying knee. I think they're impressive. I mean, when Jose Aldo did it to Cub Swanson so many years ago in the WEC, that was impressive. And they're still impressive. What else was I going to say? One thing also that I wanted to say about Paul Daly after he got the win, throwing out that tribute to Tito Ortiz, I thought, you know, was a pretty big thing for him, pretty nice thing for him to do, to send a legend out that way. Anyways, wonderful knockout, set up beautifully by that spinning back elbow. Take a look at it again. It was wonderful.
And to your point in the post-fight, almost apologetic for having it happen.
Yeah.
Said that he didn't like looking down at Brendan's family, crying and upset. And you could even tell when he started to do that, he had been taken back by what had happened. He didn't want to hurt anyone that way. I don't think anyone does. I don't even think Venom Page wanted to hurt somebody that way. So to me, that fight really embodies everything good with mixed martial arts. You have a great competition. You have two guys to go out there that lay it all on the line. And, you know, when somebody loses, they're extremely respectful to the one that lost. And we saw a great fight. I mean, really, that I'd love to see that fight again, just maybe not in the same way, of course.
Hey, right quick. You brought up Venom Page. Fuck that guy. That guy, when he knocked out, hold on. Yeah, I know, come from left field. When he kneed Cyborg in the head, my gut feeling told me he just had this arrogance with him, man. I mean, of course, you know. Okay, let me just jump off of that for a second. Remember when John Jones tapped out Machida and then Jackson said, go over there and see if he's okay. He probably got the arrogance, just feel like, you know, I'm a fucking killer machine. And when he kneed that guy in the head and dropped, I felt like he just felt full of himself. And he probably felt sorry, but then part of him was like, fuck it, you know, like, oh, well, you know. And then I say that to say this. Then he does a video with fucking Rousey, you know, joking her about fucking getting knocked out. So I'm like, well, how passionate, how sorry are you really are when you fucking killed the guy fucking selling? You know? Fuck him. You know? I just got to be serious.
Tell us how you really feel.
I just think that guy, I mean, I don't want to get subject, but I think that guy, man, I don't know, man. I never really cared for him that much. And I just felt a certain way. And when he did that video, I said, you know what? My gut feeling is right on him, man. He just, I mean, that's very tasteful. You know, to sit here and joke a fight about getting, you know, beat up like that. And you're a fighter. We're not talking about a troll on the internet. And you know, or a kid or something like that. You're another fighter. And then you have one of the most devastating fucking flying knees where one of the injuries we've never seen, a cracked skull in the cage before. You mean to tell me he ain't laughed himself about that, or he's not, you know, on his high horse because he did that? You know what I mean? And I mean, it's a fight game. I'm not, you know. No pity party for Cyborg and shit like that, but I'm just saying, I don't know if he... It's probably crocodile tears with him. But anyway...
Well, everything wrong with that was made right by the way Paul Daly acted last night. If you don't like the way MVP acted after that fight, then you go watch Paul Daly's post-fight press conference and how he was in the ring afterwards, and you will love Paul Daly. I'm not a big fan of Paul Daly myself.
Hey, I love Daly. I like Daly. You know, I like Daly. I always like him.
Well, we got to remember why he's in Bellator. He punched Josh Koscheck after a bell. So that tells me something there.
I was just going to say. You're right. I mean,
I never liked that either, dude. I never liked that at all, too. Very distasteful. I didn't like that, you know? But he's one of those unapologetically real bad boys. And I like that. I like that about him. Kind of reminds me of the Diaz brother in a way, you know? Now, quick question. He beat, because I didn't watch the fight, guys. Sorry, listeners. I wasn't able to see the fight. I saw the main event. Now,
it's a violation.
Daily, huh?
It's a total violation by you.
Now, that Daily felt weird. Now, was weird that fighter that was supposed to actually fight MVP a while ago, but then I think MVP got injured and got pulled. Remember, he got Ward, right?
I don't recall that.
They mentioned there's something on the broadcast about. Yeah, they did mention on the broadcast about that. So. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he did. They did get that match, and even Ward or MVP got injured or something like that. Now, I'm assuming that's the same weight class. I would love to see Daly go against MVP. You know, fucking, you know, stop that hype train. That will, you know, they're gonna feed him, and you know, they try to build the guy or whatever. That would be a great fucking fight. But I bet you Daly weight, they'll, you know, feed MVP a little bit more before they give him like a Daly or something like that. That'll be a great fight. Now, MVP's talented. Let me be fair. The guy is talented. He's not a bad fighter and stuff like that. I'm so over the showboating shit, but that would be a great fight. But that's what I got on that.
All right, guys. Let's move on to this. So the one thing that I will note, by the way, is that Bellator, of course, has been very kind to us in terms of allowing us to cover their fights, et cetera. And we've been to press conferences, et cetera, with them. But one thing I will say this, guys, that I was completely surprised in, that Michael Venom Page, by the way, the person that you see on camera seems to be completely different from the person that you meet. Because when we were in a press conference, he came in, guys, he was extremely gracious, shook all our hands, and just not the guy that you expect. So just before we completely just rip on people, and I agree with him, totally distasteful in terms of the Honda Housie video, et cetera. But in terms of he's not as bad as we think. Let's go up to the main event, guys, because we're never going to get through this. To the light heavyweight, we go Tito Ortiz. Thank God he wasn't tested by USADA, right? Versus, of course, Chael Sonnen, who looked like me with his shirt off. Submission, rear naked choke in the first round, 2:03 into it, guys. Let's go into it. Prados, what say you?
Yeah, we talked about this a bit at the beginning of the show, and like you said, just there, I mean, we could point to substances for both of these guys, maybe. I mean, I know that Tito said that Chael had been tested previous, and that's maybe why he looked like he with his shirt off, Tony. I don't know. And I believe the last word was that Tito had not been tested. So it wouldn't surprise me if there weren't some shenanigans going on here, to be honest, because Tito wanted to make sure that he told us how strong he was before the fight. He told us how strong he was after the fight. Guys,
just for clarity,
Tito was tested.
Yeah, Chael was tested four times. Tito was tested once.
And some of that
was circumstantial.
You know, right. Yep.
They were at a show that Chael was commentating. They chose to test him there. Tito wasn't there. You would assume that if he was, he would have been tested.
Yeah, we're talking about the same interview, so that's good. Okay, so let's get into the fight here. As I said earlier on, I thought that the buildup, all the hype, all the words that were said really contributed to not only how Chael Sonnen came out, but how Tito Ortiz came out. They were both very aggressive. There was a lot of good exchanges, a lot of good scrambling that happened. You're a wrestling fan. If you're a wrestling fan, then you would have seen the nuances. And, you know, as we've stated, you know, Tito is very good from the on-top position. He doesn't like to get into the mount or into the guard, sorry. But he did do that this fight and seemed very controlling there. He said he had been practicing it a lot in the post-fight press conference. I thought that Chael would have really invested. He invested a lot into the chokehold that he started with and probably gassed out his arms a little bit. I thought that in real time, as the fight was going on, I'm like, ah, geez, Chael, just give up on it right now. You know what I mean? And kind of get out of there, which he did end up having to do. Tito popped his head out, scramble, scramble, scramble. Tito takes his back and gets that submission. Now,
apparently there was a whole bunch of Twitter talk, Ryan, I don't know if you saw this, that saying that the choke wasn't that tight. I mean, I looked at Chael Sonnen's face, and I mean, that his face was pretty red. I thought he kind of fought that. Yeah, I thought he fought as much as he could. He didn't go out. That's one
thing. He was cramping on it, right. It seems. Like, it seemed like it wasn't tight, but he was holding it, cramping on it, so...
Yeah, maybe it was more of a pain thing than maybe if you know, a blood choke or an air choke. Again, I didn't think that we needed to see this fight. I wasn't very impressed. I did find myself at the end of my seat, like I was saying, every now and then because of the scrambles. The scrambles I thought were pretty high level. I mean, Chael Sonnen, high level wrestler, same as Tito Ortiz. I don't know what else to say about it, guys. I didn't think it was a very good fight.
Well, it seems like every time we have a tap in a non, like, deep, formal, this is the way the hold is supposed to be applied situation, you have people cite, oh, it was fixed, oh, it was rigged, this, that, and the other. My response to that would be, I don't see, you got to remember, Chael made this fight very personal for himself. Talk about the loss of his father. A lot of people may not know this, but he did lose a child in the past few years as well. I don't see him going out and taking a fall on this. But when I look at Chael's record, when I look at the big fights, when we start to talk about Rashad Evans, when we start to talk about John Jones, when we talk about both fights he had with Anderson Silva, these are fights, and this one obviously last night, where he comes up not just short, but he comes up very short. This fight, to me, wasn't that competitive. Like we talked about, to bring it full circle, if you looked at this fight on paper and I told you what happened, you didn't know who the fighters were. You probably wouldn't tell me I was describing the swan song of Tito Ortiz or maybe the second or third most hyped Spike TV Bellator MMA fight of all time to date. And I think that's where we have to go back to what are we actually seeing, and then what are we being sold? Because what we were sold is this was going to be an incredibly close, competitive match. The return of Chael Sonnen after so many years, the last fight of Tito Ortiz. And to be honest with you, you talk about fights that sell. Number one is a grudge match, which they made this into. And number two is a return match, which obviously you had with Chael. Also talk about a retirement match. In that case, you had all three in the context of this fight. And this fight did not live up to any one of those billings. And to me, when you look at the card as a whole, that's kind of what I'm left with. This was a very unfulfilling fight. Tito Ortiz can hang his hat on it. He can dig his little graves in the ring. He can wear his stupid little flaming beanie. And he can have his kids throw his gloves down in the center of the rim, all dramatic, and then he can act like a total jerk in the press conference. All that's fine, because, by the way, Chael owned this in the post-fight interview and basically said, listen, I'll talk it and I'll own it. And he did. But at the same time, this to me was not worthy of the promotion, the build-up, and the selling of it. It just didn't live up to any of that hype. I know you're all speechless because I'm correct.
Yeah, you really hit it all in the head. I don't have much to say on that, but it was a fight I made as hardcore as we're going to, you know, tune in and enjoy the fight. It wasn't, you know, the fight we wanted to see. Wasn't that competitive, but it started out pretty good, man. It was good scrap, and then it was a good scramble on the ground. And I don't call fixed, or I don't really think there's no fixed fights in MMA, man. And or someone throws a fight, and it don't look like he grabbed his neck real tight. But you know, when you crack somebody's fucking head and you're putting pressure on the neck, that's what I think what it was, man. And you see Chael a lot of his fights, man. He really kind of just. He gets, you know, in deep waters, man, and he kind of taps. He don't really, you know, try to, you know, fight it out a little bit. I mean, look when he fought Silva, same thing in that, you know, it's just, and a lot of his fights do. He kind of just, he goes for the tap, you know?
Well, there was no getting out of that.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Before we close, because I do want to talk about the unified rules and all the changes, et cetera, but let's. I think we need to be fair on one thing. I don't think Bellator was trying to sell us that this was going to be an epic fight, as opposed to two big names that you know, just like I didn't know who Dada 500 or 5,000 or whatever that he was. And I definitely knew who Kimbo was. So I think we need to be fair in terms of that. And I do think, guys, if Bellator's trying to sell younger talent, and I'll speak in terms of Brennan Ward, right? Someone like that. or maybe Campos Anderson. If you're trying to sell the younger talent, I think you need to have names that are going to draw that crowd. And I think it's okay to put on those fun fights or those pride-style fights, right? As long as you have good quality fights underneath there. And I'll be honest with you guys, Shinzo Machida, who's not a young man by any stretch of the imagination, but someone like Hisaki Kato, I think those are some talented fighters, guys, that are just maybe a few years past where they should have been. But I think those are really exciting fighters. And of course, Demi Lovato's boyfriend isn't bad. I mean, if you look at the list of current fighters, the MVPs, and you know, the Chandlers of the world, et cetera, these are pretty damn good fighters, guys. So, you know, where they stand in the hierarchy of the UFC, we may or may not ever know, right? But they are pretty good fighters, guys. Let's get into this, guys. Let's talk about the new MMA rules. So, Proteus, you and I wanted to chat about this, and I know Ryan, you have some things to say about this as well, and Lerone will go into some of this. Here's a quick breakdown, just to sort of give you guys, for those that don't know, and we should have Aaron Maynard on for this, but grounded fighter, right? Under the original rules, the fighters could basically place a single finger on the tip of the ground and establish themselves as being grounded, right? That's no longer the case. The extended fingers we spoke about, the female apparel, we won't really get into this. Heel kicks to the kidneys, grabbing the clavicle. Let's get into these rules, bro. What say you?
I think for the most part, they will improve not only fighter safety, like Ryan was saying earlier on, but they will improve the flow of the fights. You know, we won't see any of this stalling anymore. I believe one fight that sticks out in my mind, I remember Diego Sanchez, like you were mentioning, just had one finger down on the ground. I mean, that's just bullshit. Okay, we can't have that. Sure. We need to have these fights have a flow. We need to have them continue on in a good fashion, in an entertaining fashion. Grabbing the clavicle is just stupid. I've never seen anybody do that before. And if you watch the interview that I saw with I referenced earlier with Big John, he says it was just a stupid rule that they put in the first place. However, the kick to the kidney, great addition. I don't think it should have not been in there in the first place. We're in a fight here, guys, and you should be able to do within reason. I'm not saying let's bring in soccer kicks, but I think that kick to the kidney is fine with me. I think it'll, I kind of enjoy those kind of knees from the top to the side. I kind of enjoy that kind of chopping to the kidney. I don't know. They're just, maybe that's kind of the brutal side of me comes out. Just like I like seeing a lot of blood on the canvas, like Tony pointed out, a little bit more of it. But I think, yes, overall, Tony, good improvements. As Big John was saying, this is what we need to do on a regular basis. Every year, maybe every quarter year or whatever, we need to review these rules and make sure that we're putting on the best product that we can. These rules, let's remember, are 20 years old, right? And they've only changed little tiny things up until now. So this is a good sign, a good step in the right direction. I'd like to see more happen.
I think we talked a lot about the fighter safety. So we had mentioned earlier about the draws. I wanted to just kind of focus on that for a little bit. What they basically, at least from my interpretation, did was clear up a lot of the language that had been there before. And I think we all know, we've watched fights where something has been unbelievably one-sided and you didn't have that 10-8 round. So now they're actually asking the judges, totally separate from the fighters, they're asking the judges to determine impact or visual damage, if you will, dominance and duration. And if two of those are there, they're considering the possibility more commonly of a 10-8 round. We didn't have those verbiages before. It was kind of on the fly. And to be honest with you, 10-8 rounds were pretty uncommon. But I think now we're going to see that a lot more often. And if all three of them are there, obviously, you would certainly have a 10-8 round. And to me, that is good for competition. We talked about earlier, fighters that would need to step it up and really push the pace of the fight if they've had one bad round. But also is going to lead itself to a lot more draws. And I think the problem with draws is, historically, if we want to compare MMA to boxing, draws don't seem to leave a good taste in a fan's mouth. No one wants to go watch a draw. No one wants to see a draw happen because it does nothing to the rankings. It's almost like a stalemate, and it's almost as if the fight never even happened. I don't want to see MMA turn into that, where, well, we're running every fight back 2, 3, 4 times to get a winner, and even though we have these epic battles, we're not left with anything other than a, well, that was a draw. A lot of people, obviously, we talked about before with the Wonderboy Thompson fight, you know, those things don't really go well with one fighter or the other. Someone always feels like they won, and they always don't see the need to give a rematch. So that's the problem that we had for a long time. I think in clearing up the verbiage, also with some of the judges, we've seen some really questionable calls from. I think we're probably going to, like you said, see a lot more draws. And in that, in all that they did to help protect the fighters and benefit the sport, I think the draws may ultimately hurt the sport more.
I agree.
You guys, it's hard to follow after you two. Shit, you didn't say anything about it. I have to kind of piggyback off these guys and agree, man. It's for the better of the sport. And like I said, I mean, you know, this sport is only 23 years old at the moment. You know, we're going to see a lot more changes and improvements and stuff like that. And I totally agree with all the changes in these new rules. And it's going to just, you know, push for the action to be different and for, you know, guys to not just, you know, rely on getting over and stuff like that, you know. I hope to see some more rules put in place as far as, like, you know, you're carded if you're stalling and stuff like that, too. I kind of want to see that also. You guys remember that fight with John Howard and I think it was Brandon Thatch? Thatch had the nerve to say after the fight, what did he do? Did they take a point or something, or he poked the guy in the eye? He poked him in the eye or something, and he knew he would get a warning, so he just did it or something. It was something to that magnitude, he said, and it was just, I thought that was fucked up, and John Howard got his working papers in place for that also, and then he wound up popping or something, and he still didn't get his job back. You guys remember that? It was a card. It was in Vegas last year. They need to start changing that, too. I think, you know, the girl over with these fighters in the back about, you know, the rules, what you can and can't do and stuff like that. And I think the first time you poke a guy, that's it. You know what I mean? They're going to have to, because technically your warning is in the back. So I think they got to be strict. And like you said, Moody, with the judges, everybody, I mean, well, you know, the judges and the refs, everybody got to be on the same, well, mainly the refs, everybody got to be on the same page. It can't be one judge told a guy 3 fucking times, and then, you know, another judge, a ref in another fight tells the fighter, you know, one time, and then, you know, he gets a point taken the first time, and another fighter, you know, he gets told 3 or 4 times. You know, I think it got to be even playing field. It got to, you know, it can't just be one way in one fight, and then another fight is different, but we don't get the same weapon every fight. So all the refs got to kind of also, you know, have some kind of talking to and stuff like that. And it could just be straight across. You know, when you see this, you call this. When this is done, this is implemented. This is put in place also. So along with those rules, I think that's something they got to stress. When there's, you know, these fouls being thrown, they got to be a lot more strict on those also.
One final point to that, because you mentioned the judges. I don't know if you two heard, but, well, Lerone may not have heard it, but interestingly enough, last night when they were reading the Kevin Casey decision, they actually used the verbiage of one judge scored the fight XX. That ruling is overran or overturned by the other two judges that scored XY. I'd never actually heard something like that said. And then just as a final point, for someone who wants to go do this on their own, the intriguing thing to me about these rule changes is how uneducated the fighters are. And to me, that goes back to their teams, their training camps, and basically just MMA as a whole. You can Google any fighter's name in conjunction with new MMA rules, and these aren't new rules. These were implemented back in May and April. They started to talk about this over a year, and they just don't have a concept of what it means, how it applies to them, and what the outcome is going to be in terms of differences. And that, to me, is a big problem, too.
Huge problem.
Totally agree. Hey guys, let's start wrapping up. So before we wrap up, I want to go into one last thing, guys, because whenever I always say that there are way too many UFC cards, and I do believe that. But whenever we don't have a UFC card, I tend to miss it. And we're going to go into Smack My Picks up next week. But we do have a card coming up, guys. UFC on Fox, Shevchenko versus Pena. What do you guys think about this card? Because I actually think this card is better than some of the pay-per-views that are coming up. If you start looking at Shevchenko versus Pena, Cerrone versus Masvidal, Arlovski versus Ngannou. Yeah. If you start looking at this card versus, I'll give you a prime example. If you look at UFC 208, which is going to affect probably the East Coast guys, both of you guys that were at UFC 205 guys, the UFC 205 card to me doesn't look that good. Am I wrong in this, Moody?
Well, to me, I think we talk about really trying to still recover from UFC 200. I mean, there were some big card, you know, 205 as well. You had some big names fight. You've kind of run your talent. And as far as this card, you're correct. There's a lot of good fighters. Alex Garceris is a great fighter. Alaska is a great fighter. I'm surprised that the prelim is actually led by Nate Marquardt and Sam Alvey. You know, Sam Alvey's kind of been a guy they've been trying to build, has a really good character to him, provides the knockout a lot of the times. But yeah, to me, I absolutely love that card. It's amazing to me to see where we've come with UFC in building these free cards. And you get a card like this where, you know, you don't have a championship on the line per se, but you have a championship caliber fight. And that's what's important. Are you going to watch something that's meaningful in the course of UFC for this month or this year or this quarter with this fight? Absolutely. This is a very good card and has a lot of implications across multiple divisions, not just the middleweight, but obviously with the women's bantamweight, Cerrone in the welterweight, Arlovski in the heavyweight. So you look at a card and you say, hey, these fights can really kind of change things up. And that's what, to me, when you watch a card finish, you look back and you say, okay, we talked about how the draws can impact things negatively. You watch a card like this and you have fighters that can finish fights and win. And you can say, okay, that fight meant a lot in terms of Donald Cerrone moving up in the welterweight division or Masvidal maybe falling down. And to me, that's what I really like to see about a card. Meaningful fights, they're going to impact ratings, rankings, and lead to title contenders where you can go back and say, hey, I remember seeing Donald Cerrone win that fight. And it's helped propel him a little bit more forward to maybe get that championship fight in November or December if it comes to that.
Yeah, I agree 100% with what Ryan's saying. I've been saying on this show for since we started that we're not going to get winners all the time on these free cards, but every now and then we're going to get a gem like this, right? Lots of good fights on the main card. Of course, we're probably going to be tuned in for most of the prelim card as well. I don't like to judge cards going into them. I mean, I did say about UFC 206 that I did think that it shouldn't have been a pay-per-view card. But like you said, Ryan and DJ Tony, the 200 was very much a mess. And it showcased how if we try too hard, we may not get to the finish line. And just doing something like this, a card that is solid, card that is stacked, may not get the casual fan in, let's be honest. But it being free and maybe somebody stumbling across it, that may be where we see a lot of the fans come in. And if the fights are good, if people are tuning in for Donald Cerrone, if they're tuning in for the heavyweights, I mean, that Francis Ngannou, Andrei Arlovski fight is probably going to end in a knockout, let's be honest. And of course, like you guys said, the number one contender fight at the top of the card. I'm down, but I'm down for all of them. So, yeah, let's move on.
All right,
and
guys.
Real quick,
before
take a look at that poster.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Beautiful poster for that. Beautiful poster for that card. If you guys haven't seen the poster, you know it's going back to Colorado in that event, and they kind of did like this old school looking poster with the original UFC logo. Really paid homage to where they came from. I love to see that kind of stuff as well.
Oh, wow. Well,
but damn, you're right. But not the best picture of the lovely Julianna Pena. Before we end the show, we'll get into this. I'm going to start playing the music, guys. But I did miss one opportunity, as you guys know me, how corny I am. Hang on. Let me start playing the crickets for you guys right now. Because Proteus did say that Tito Ortiz is good on top. Jenna Jameson wasn't bad on top either. Nothing. All right, guys. All right, guys, let's get into this. Let's start wrapping up. You know what, Pro? This shows you whenever, by the way, guys, we miss shows, man, we fall apart at the seams, right? So let's get into this, guys. Let's hit it. Let's end the show alongside of me, Proteus, of course, Ryan Moody, And of course, Lerone, let's start getting into this, guys. Let's do TV show of the week. We'll start off with you, Lerone. What is your TV show of the week?
TV show of the week. Okay. You guys check out. I think it's on the channel WGN. Check out The Outsiders. Pretty good show. Pretty good show. Quickly, it's about some mountain people living up in the mountains, and people in the town are trying to tear it down, and they're kind of rebelling and stuff like that. It's in the second season. Pretty good show.
Ryan.
I will say that I slept on the TV show Peaky Blinders for about 4 years. I just started watching all the seasons, and it's one of the best shows I've seen in a really long time.
So what is it?
I thought it too. Peaky Blinders. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, Cillian Murphy plays in that. It takes place back like in a... It's sort of like...
It's like the 1900s,
Empire.
Yeah.
Like Blade of Empire.
All right, sweet. Oh, I love Empire. Prados.
Yes, sir. My show of the week is going to be the OA, also on Netflix. I've been just getting into it. I really don't know what's happening with it yet, but I'm going to give it a chance. It's kind of interesting and sci-fi like I like. So it's been pretty intriguing so far, but I don't really know what's happening yet. I'm about 4 or 5 episodes in. So give it a whirl.
All right, let's move on quickly, guys. For me, it's going to be, believe it or not, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. Love that show on HBO. Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. All right, guys, song of the week. If you have one, hit it. We'll go with Pro.
Yes. I just hooked up a new stereo system to my computer, and I was enjoying my song of the week just this morning. It's called The Cat's in the Bag and The Bag's in the Water by Automatic 253 with our boy, Danny, from MMA Junkie Radio. Gotta support.
Sweet. Ryan, do you have a song of the week, or Lerone?
I'll give you a song of the week. I don't know. My musical taste probably won't be welcome here. The Brendan Ward, I believe, came out to a metal band called Whitechapel. They have a song called Bring Me Home. It's not the song he came out to, but it's a pretty good song and a great video. Give it a listen.
Oh, you're talking to the wrong guy. I'm a metalhead. Yep, perfect. Lerone, song of the week. We're going to have to restart this song,
gotcha,
by the way. Go
gotcha.
Ahead.
Big Sean, he has a song called Living Single with Chance the Rapper and Jeremiah. It got a pretty good sound to it. Real nice song called Living Single by Big Sean, Chance the Rapper, and Jeremiah.
All right. And my song, because it's been pouring and raining here in the Bay Area, Thunderstruck by AC/DC. All right. Twitter follow of the week. We go with Lerone. Twitter follow of the week, sir.
Oh, man, that's easy, man. I'm going to have to go with Donald Glover, or a.k.a. Childish Gambino. This guy, man, he does it all, man. Comedian, TV, music, movies. He's playing in the Star Wars movie coming up. Donald Glover, Childish Gambino. Check him out.
And
I'll go
Ryan.
With Eric Winter. He used to be the head of UFC Fight Pass. You can follow him on Twitter. EL Winter was a great guy, extremely polite and respectful to me. Hate to see the UFC lose somebody like that, but I'm glad he's taking some time off to spend with his family. So give him a follow anyway. Really good guy, very knowledgeable about the sport.
Do we know why he left,
I'm gonna
by
have...
any chance?
He cited personal reasons to spend more time with his family. I'm sure it's a grueling job to have, so he handled it adequately. I got a chance to meet him. Always great with communication, made Fight Pass what it was, and will definitely be missed.
I call it bullshit. They probably gave him the boot. Nobody just leaves the job, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, best of luck to him, you know?
Prados?
Yes, sir. I'm going to go with my recent, as of recent, co-host on my Furious is Prime Time show, Mr. Danny Austin, _9. Follow him on Twitter.
And I'm going to go with, guys, a man who agreed to be a guest on our show. We'll try to get him on in the next couple of weeks. Jimmy Smith. So follow him at Jimmy Smith MMA. Follow us at Another MMA Cast. Follow me at I'm DJ Tony. Follow, of course, Proteus at PROADOS. Follow Lerone. Lerone, your one always kicks my rear. It's Nick's. Kicks with a Z, the letter N, MMA, and follow Ryan at Shutdown Safety. Ryan, are you still doing your YouTube show?
we're going to bring it back. We've talked about it. We're going to bring it back. Me and Anthony will probably do something later on this week when he gets back from vacation.
All right. We got to get you on the air more often. All right. Here we go, guys. Let's get out of this. From our boy up north. Well, everybody's up north, right? Lerone, of course, Ryan, and Prados, and me, the only man in the West Coast moving offices as we speak. We're out of here. We'll see you next week. Daily, of course, the MMA Minute. On Wednesday, Smack My Picks Up. Thursdays, Prodeus's Primetime. And on Sundays, of course, the one and only This Week in MMA. We're out of here.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.